This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
We are live at the Hatback Bar and Grill for Mariners opening day as it is starting to fill up big time here in the Hatback. Good to see all the fans out here. A lot of excitement. A reminder, we're gonna have our guy John Schneider on tomorrow. We're going to do that tomorrow at 3 o'clock. So don't forget to tune in tomorrow, 3 o'clock, to hear our weekly conversation with Seahawks President of Football Operations, John Schneider, who will join us right here, Seattle Sports. So we'll talk to him about what's happening with the Seahawks and everything else going on. Again, tomorrow at 3. Typically it happens today, but it's opening day. So we had to make some adjustments, Dave.
I think my attention is a little bit more diluted than ever this year, considering the two things. Well, I mean, you get the NCAA tournament, but you got the NFL draft coming up. Mm-hmm. But this opening day and this first month of the Mariners, I just think it's going to be so interesting to see. Number one, you know, is everybody going to play like they did in spring? How is it going to pan out over the season? And then also, you know, are they going to be able to, what do they got, 7 games here at home before they go on the road? See if they manage the way that they play baseball, you know, whether it's getting guys in motion or, you know, trying to just get guys on base, stop trying to hit home runs in the marine layer, and if that's going to have any kind of an effect. And then the other thing I'm really excited to see tonight is at 6:32, the fire trident performance.
See exactly what that means.
Anytime I see that there's fire involved.
With a trident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Maybe they'll throw flaming tridents into the crowd. It's like a T-shirt giveaway type thing. We talked about that earlier.
I'd be okay with that.
You'd be all right?
Yeah, I'd watch. I wouldn't try to attempt to catch or anything, but sure, I'd watch.
I just want Lefko sitting next to me, because then I could grab Lefko and
use him as a shield.
Use him as a human shield.
All right? You all right with that?
Whoever the texter is that texted in the picture from last year, opening day, of Mike eating something, it's just very appropriate, Mike.
Just captured the essence,
because Mike,
of Lefko.
You're always eating. So, yeah, just.
That must be the Fluffko person. Who dubbed me Fluffko.
Oh, Fluffko. Yeah, yeah.
Must be that person.
That would be Fat Lefko.
Capture me in my element.
Fat Lefko.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good picture. That was quality stuff. All right, so we did this, 2 weeks ago, I think? We did this, and we called the segment Call It Now. We were making predictions and said we would revisit it on opening day, and here we are. A couple of questions, and you guys can text on this, 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. Answer each of these questions. This simple yes or no on this one. Is this a better team than last season?
That's easy. That's simple. Yes, absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. I don't think we had this kind of feeling last year at this time.
No.
We didn't know how solid the rotation was going to be by this time. I think there's a lot more to be excited about.
Well, we weren't expecting to see Wu at all, maybe Miller later in the season, because at this time last year, Robbie Ray was healthy, Marco was healthy.
That's right.
So, yeah, we unexpected visits from those guys, but... You know, I kind of got hammered by a lot of people last year for being negative about the team, because I did not like the offseason, but I feel completely different about this offseason, and I like what they did. I like what they did considering the financial constraints they were working with. This is a much deeper lineup. This is a longer lineup than you had last year. We know more about the pitching, obviously, at the back end than we did at this point last year.
I think this is going to be a fun year for Jerry DePoto. Just because, and Justin Hollander, because of some of the moves that they've made, that people, and rightfully so, people were just like, I'm not seeing it, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you're trading away, Seawalt for these three players who all figure pretty prominently into the starting lineup tonight, two of them anyway, with Rojas and Canzone. So, yeah, I think that's going to be one of the big things. I mean, I'm happy for him, you know, because I feel like for a GM, it's really hard to make those moves and to be patient enough to let it play out. And then, you know, you're getting criticism and things like that. Same thing with John Schneider, you know, that people don't always see what you see, and it doesn't make sense to them. And, you know, like Paul Moyer today saying that about Jerome Baker and Tyrell Dodson, that those guys would be better linebackers than than Bobby and, you know, Jordan Brooks last year. I mean, you can't see that right now at all.
No.
But, you know, hopefully it comes to fruition. And that's just something that I think is very rewarding. It'll be very rewarding for Jerry, hopefully.
And you'd like him to walk out on the mound and flip everybody the bird.
Yeah, that's what I said that at one point. Like, Jerry, you know, just stand up there, get in everybody's face, point at him. I know baseball. You don't. How about that?
Well, the problem is, I mean, listen, the press conference wasn't great. That didn't go well. But the bottom line is that he's the guy out there talking most of the time, Justin sometimes. They're going to take the slings and arrows because they're the ones that are putting the team together, but they're not the ones dictating the finances.
Yeah.
I say it all the time. It's like your dad giving you allowance. Like, here, whatever it is, $20, $50, whatever, go make it work. It's up to you to figure it out.
Right.
You're not getting more.
You budget.
Yeah, and that's what they've got to do. So we can lament the players they did. How come he didn't go after Bellinger? How come he didn't go after this guy or that guy? Well, financially speaking, it's really not up to. They can make their case to ownership and say, well, like Brad Pitt in Moneyball, I need this. I need this. And the owner's going to go, well, sorry. What else can I do for you?
That's right.
So... That's how
it goes. Great scene, by the way. And just the owner, just how frustrated he is, where he's like, what else can I do for you? Yeah. And he's real serious about it. And you're like, you little, give me more money.
You've done nothing for me at this point, so I guess nothing else. But, yeah, so I get it. They're the face. They're the voice everybody hears. But they don't dictate the finances. So considering those constraints, this is a better team. This is, I think, a decidedly better team going into the season. How about this? Will they go over or under 88 wins?
92 wins for me. That'll get them in the playoffs.
92. Did that go up from the last time?
You guys did this when I was gone, I think, a couple of weeks ago maybe. What was it called again? What's our little game called here?
Call It Now.
Call It Now. Yeah, I'm going to go 92 wins.
Who did we do it with? Was it you and I, Lefko, that did this?
And we did it with Ryan, too.
With Ryan, okay.
Basically, we waited till Dave was gone.
Oh, I got it.
Okay, so this is Dave's first crack at it. Okay.
This is why we wanted your opinion and insight on this.
I thought you didn't want me at all first.
You're going 92. I'm going to go 89. I'm going to go 89 wins because I'm not certain what the other teams are going to be like. How much better is the competition? Maybe it's not as good. Maybe they'll go past 92 wins. But I'm going to go 89 wins. But you don't have to predict the exact number. It's either over or under 88.
So I think last year, weren't they like 17 and 11 in May? But April was like they were south of 500.
Yeah, it wasn't a great start.
Yeah, but I mean, at some point they were like 500 in the second month. So hopefully, they don't. This is very, very interesting. And I kind of like that it's raining and that it's kind of wet, just to see, you know, how the contrast of, you know, what are we going to be able to markedly see, like, oh, that's the work of Brant Brown getting, you know, the base runners and putting the game in motion and trying to play small ball instead of trying to crush it out of the park.
Jared Sims is a big fan of that idea.
He said, sign me up.
Yes, yes, yeah. And I'm right there with him, man.
Well, and you put it, you know, in a way I think everybody can understand. It's like you're pounding your head against the wall if you sit there and continue to complain about the warning track shots.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like, if they would have done this, if they would have done that. Well, just accept reality and let's work around it. And hopefully we're able to see that come to fruition out on the field. It'll be something that's recognizable.
Yeah, manufacture runs, especially early in the season. All right, and again, you guys can text in your answers to these questions to 866-979-3776. So two questions so far. Is this a better team than last season? Will they go over, under 88 wins? How about this, Dave? Who will be the all-star representatives from this team?
Well, I mean, chalk is Julio, right?
You can pick as many as you want, though.
All right. Well, I'm going to pick Julio, but then I'm also going to go and throw Mitch Haniger, Cal Raleigh, and Logan Gilbert in there. How about that?
We had almost the exact same.
Really?
One. Yeah. I went with Julio. He's the obvious. I went with Logan Gilbert and George Kirby.
And Kirby.
And then my wild card was Mitch Haniger.
Yeah. So I got Haniger, Cal Raleigh, Julio, and Logan Gilbert.
Yeah, so you guys can text in those answers to that. Which players, in your opinion, will have a better season than they had last year, just statistically, just looking at their numbers?
Easy, Ty France. Ty France, definitely, I think all the work he put in and You know, he already was a good hitter, and it was interesting to listen to him talk about how he gradually. It makes sense, though, right? That, like, your swing just gradually gets worse and worse and worse, and all of a sudden you look at yourself and go, oh, my God, I'm, like, I'm 3 months, you know, away from all these bad habits, and look at where I am now. And that's kind of where he was at the in the offseason. So, yeah, I think, to me, I feel like he's going to have the biggest repair. What do you guys have?
I'm trying to remember what I said. I think Ty felt like chalk to me.
Yeah.
Because we got to the question about Ty specifically coming up. We were eliminating anybody that didn't play a full season. So it would be easy to say, well, Mitchell have a better year because he only played 61 games last year.
Right.
I thought Logan was my pick to have a better year. And he had a good year last year. I feel like he's set for an all-star year. I think his ERA is going to be better. I think his strikeouts to walk ratio will be better. We'll see about home runs and things like that. But I think he's going to be an all-star. And I think he's going to have a better year than he did last year, which is a good year already.
Yeah.
So he was one of the ones outside of Ty that I think could step up. Now, maybe some of the other guys, we removed Canzone and Rojas because they only had a little bit of time here. So, right. Again, that's a little too obvious. Anybody you think could have a step back year?
Boy, you know, I guess the dark side of my heart says JP. Just because that would be a bad thing.
Well, I said the same thing, but I said he could have a step back statistically. Maybe he's not going to hit 19 home runs.
Right.
Maybe he's not going to have the exact same average or the walks that he had last year. He could still have a very good year and statistically be a little bit down from last year.
Yeah. And if he's just nails on defense,
yeah.
You know, hardly any errors, I mean, that, yeah. I hate saying that about JP. I didn't know where I was at with JP until we interviewed him down in spring training.
He was awesome.
We don't hear that much from him, and he seems like a guy who maybe he got stung by the media a little bit and didn't like some of the things that were said by people, but it was nice of him to spend time with us. And the other thing, I think that is a player who more other players mention as far as being a good teammate and sort of the heartbeat of the team. That is a guy whose name comes up all the time when we talk, even the pitchers. So I think he's really important.
And apparently he's a hell of a singer.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
What we heard. Remember they had the band going down there. So, yeah, he got nominated to sing and apparently crushed it. So, yeah, I think he could step back technically just in terms of his overall numbers and still look at his season and go, man, that was a really good year. That was a really good year. So in asking about a step back, to me, it's not about who's going to have a bad year.
Gotcha.
But maybe they don't match what they did. Because he set the bar so high, if you think about it. It came out of nowhere. Nobody expected 19 home runs from J.P. Crawford. Nobody. I can tell you I didn't. If anybody else did, congrats. Because he had never hit double-digit home runs. And then right. He hits almost 20.
Yeah.
So I could see him hit 15 this year. That would be a step back, but still a really representative year.
And that would be good for him. So... yeah, and just, you know, his leadership and all that. So it's okay. I'm comfortable now with it, JP, taking a step back, just slightly.
Watch him hit 22. Watch him do that.
There you go.
How about that? You already kind of answered this, but this is for the texters out there as well. Will Ty France revert back to the Ty France we know and love?
Yeah, you know, he's tough to get sort of a signal from when you interview him and stuff.
Yeah.
He's very, very dry, very steady. I think that kind of personality lends itself to good baseball play.
He seems devoid of emotion.
Yeah. It just, nothing really affects him that much. Because when we saw him last year, it didn't seem like he was going through the slump he was going through. You know, he didn't really show that. And, yeah, he's a very solid dude. And I still, to me, he is still a huge surprise at first base. I just thought, you know, from the time they put him out there, that he has been as solid as could be.
Yeah, he's not demonstrative in either way, good or when something really big happens or something negative happens. He's kind of just
very
even
steady.
He is a hard guy to get a read on. How about this? Of the new players, looking at Haniger, Garver, Polanco, Rayleigh, Urias, statistically speaking, who's going to have the best year of that bunch?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go with Mitch Garver, although, you know, he's your DH. But that's something that you need, man. They haven't had that in forever. And if of these players, this guy had the best numbers, Garver, I think we'd be on our way to playoff baseball.
I'm going to go with my guy Haniger.
Yeah.
I got him as my wild card for an all-star.
Over 150 games.
I don't know if he'll get to 150. That would be awesome. If I had to bet on number of games he played, and you set it at 150, God, I can't believe Lefko almost knocked the desk over again.
That's just code for I just rammed my knee into the entire setup here.
I think if I had to go over under 150, I'm taking the under on that.
Yeah,
that's one I'd wear with pride being wrong if he goes over 150. But yeah, I'd definitely probably take the under on that. But he's my wild card, so I'm going to say of the new guys, and he's technically one of the new guys brought in here, I think he'll have the best stats of that group.
Well, apparently 157 games is the magic marker.
Twice.
For him.
Yeah.
He's done that twice and both times, 26 and 93 home runs and RBIs.
39 and 100.
So, yeah. Mitch, I feel like he's going to get it done. He had a really good spring.
Yeah. He looked, physically, you see him in that clubhouse. The dude is in shape. If there's any kind of exercise to be had that can help him, he's done it. If there's any kind of workout that can be had to help him, he's done it.
Yeah.
So if he doesn't succeed, it's not going to be from lack of effort or being prepared.
Yep.
This is a guy who's put in the time. All right, how about this? Just a very simple yes or no. Will they make the playoffs?
Yes.
Yes. You don't even want to think about that
one. Yeah, no, I mean, I really think they are poised, and it's not just us. I mean, we've heard from the national media guys, and including JP. Now, JP's maybe a little partial towards us, but not enough to sacrifice his integrity, that's for sure. So yeah, I feel like this is a playoff team. I think anything less would be disappointing. Is that fair? It's probably maybe that's not fair to the
Mariners.
I think
it's very fair.
I think they made the playoffs a couple years ago, missed it last year by a game or two. Yeah, I think it's expected.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair expectation that they make the playoffs. Now, how far they go, we'll see. But they getting there, I think, is absolutely a fair expectation. They expect it. Jerry expects it. And I expect it. I can tell you that. I think they will. I think they will be a playoff team. Now, if they don't make the playoffs, what's going to be the biggest reason why?
I'd say they're not in the top 10 as far as offense goes, whatever the categories are, just average. I mean, that look, the offense has to come through. Look, I've said before, and only because Scott Service has said it, that you win, that's what wins championships, good defense and pitching. But the offense has been devoid here for a long time. So and they had some clutch hits the year they made the playoffs. That was but that kind of disappeared and dried up last year. So I would say, maybe to put it specifically, clutch hitting, that would be the reason why they don't make the playoffs.
Yeah, I just went with injuries, just guys not being available.
Yeah.
If for some reason, if they get unlucky and the guys they brought in sort of, that trend continues with them and they're just not available very much, Garver, Polanco, Haniger, I think that has a huge impact on this roster. It just puts more on France in Julio, in JP, and Cal to get it done, much like last year. I mean, you had the top of the lineup, which you felt good about for the most part, and then the bottom of the lineup felt like, all right, well, there's 1, 2, 3. There are three outs there. Yeah, I mean, your DH was hitting eighth and ninth in some games. So you're just like,
not a factor.
Yeah, it was just not a good situation. So
I jokingly said yesterday that I would rather that everybody just had a crappy year than we saw that we could go to the playoffs, but we had injuries here, there, and the other. I mean, it's just so frustrating to me that way. But no, that's not true. I'd rather have that than everybody's crappy, because then that means they got to start all over again.
Well, then we're questioning everything. Like, well, they got an offensive coordinator, and everybody's healthy, but they can't produce. Everybody's striking out. Or then we're asking a ton of questions about everything surrounding it versus, well, the guy just wasn't available, just couldn't play.
Well, we heard that from Jerry a little bit, about injury prevention and all the different little things that the trainers make them go through to keep them healthy. And there's ways to do that, even for the pitchers. Like Logan Gilbert, we found out, the guy from Armory, got him back home you know, he could only pitch, what, every 7 or 8 days he could throw a ball, and they got that fixed. So, yeah, I feel like that there's ways to get around that. And, you know, if I don't know. I think I know the Seahawks do a really good job with that side of it, and they're seen as one of the high standards. And I feel like this franchise doesn't spare any expense for, you know, whether it's a trainer or a weight coach or whatever. And, yeah, they, I feel like they do a good job with that, better than other clubs.
Yeah, it's definitely sorry, I just watching people walk back and forth in front of the camera there.
Yeah.
Every time you see Lefko get tense, he pops up. I'm sure it looks cool on the stream, though, so that's good. But, yeah, I think these guys have got the right pieces in place. It's just a matter of those pieces being available, and that's the caveat for anybody. I mean, that's every team in the league is dealing with, well, as long as we stay healthy, we feel good about this part of our game, whether it's their defense, their offense, or their pitching. So the Mariners are no different. Difference is with the guys they brought in, they just have that history. So I feel like that would be the biggest reason if they don't make it. I just, the idea that they're just not, the guys go out there and they just don't play well, I don't know. I'm not buying it from this club.
Doesn't seem likely.
Nah.
Doesn't seem likely.
I mean, listen, not everybody's going to have a career year. Somebody will take a step back that we're not expecting. That's baseball.
But, you know, when you talk around like the NFL or Major League Baseball and we talk to people from other teams, you hear that a lot. You go, man, this team's really good, but we had injuries. We had, you know, this injury, that injury. This guy never got going. Mm. You know, it's pretty common. So I guess the more we talk about it, the better we feel about it. But I almost don't even want to speak it into existence. But you gotta address it. And you know, the good news for the Mariners this year, I remember there was, you know, not only from Jerry but from Scott, they talked about depth.
Yeah.
They have a lot of depth. So good time to have depth, and when you got guys going down with injuries.
All right, coming up, a guy we always enjoy speaking with, Logan Gilbert, will join us next as we continue live from the Hatback Bar and Grill. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Opening day, you're listening to Wyman and Bob live from Hatback Bar and Grill.
The crowd is growing out here at the Hatback Bar and Grill. It's Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710. And joining us now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline, I think it's safe to call him a friend of the program, Dave.
Yeah, he's absolutely. We're the only radio team that he'll talk to.
That's right.
We're exclusive. Well, Logan Gilbert.
We had such a good conversation with him down in spring training the past 2 years, and now we get a chance to speak to him once again. The great Logan Gilbert is here with us. How are you, man?
Hey guys, I'm all good. Thanks for having me on.
It's always good to talk to you. And what is it? I know obviously you're not pitching tonight, but what's this day like for you? Butterflies, anticipation? Did you sleep last night? What's it like for you?
Just a lot of anticipation and counting down and all that. I mean, it's so special just to be on the opening day roster, to have that happen again, and just not take it for granted. There's so much buzz around the stadium and with the fans and all that, so it's been great.
Hey, Logan, tell us about sort of your alter ego on game day and how you sort of get into that mode. I know you've been called Walter White before, and I just love that, you know, because every other time we talk to you, you're a very chill guy and nice guy and all that, but how big of a departure is that from your normal personality on game day when you're pitching?
It's kind of just whatever happens as you get closer to the game just kind of takes over, that focus, that mentality, the seriousness about it. Especially as a starter, I feel like you only get to pitch once every 5 or 6 days, so when it's your time, you really want to make it count, and you put all your energy into that mentally, physically, and yeah, for me, it just kind of changes my personality a little bit.
How long does it take you to get out of that personality after the game?
Depends how I did, I guess. It takes a little bit. Usually a decent part of the rest of the night, I guess, is kind of trying to switch it back to normal.
Yeah. Hey, as far as spring went for you, Logan, how did everything go in terms of what you had on your checklist to work on and different elements of your game? How do you feel like everything went?
I feel great right now. The team's looking really good. The offense looks amazing. Me personally, I got to try a few different things, work on what I needed to, and most importantly, get out of there healthy and feel like I'm in a really good place to start the season. So I'm excited.
Logan, you feel like that every year? I remember every year I was on a team, I thought we were going to the Super Bowl, and one year we were 2-14, and you know, I don't know, you invest in your team and everything, but this is really different, it seems like to me. Have you noticed, you know, and you talked about the offense a little bit, is that the biggest change, or is it just everybody coming together? Why is there such a good feeling this year as opposed to other years?
It's a mixture, a lot of things, really. Yeah, the offense looks great. I think just the culture we have every year, we're getting closer together as a group, and a lot of the main guys have stayed around for a while. I feel like we're expecting to win a little more. A couple years ago, you know, you're hoping to get to the playoffs, hoping to win and all that kind of stuff. I feel like we kind of expect ourselves to do that. That is almost normal in our minds, or what we should be doing. So I feel like this is the most complete team that I've seen. It's going to be really fun to get out there and compete with these guys.
Just individually, for you, looking at the season, we were talking about, you know, sort of making predictions on the wins and, you know, who are going to be the all-stars on this team, and we both picked you as one of the all-stars.
No pressure, Logan.
Yeah, you don't have to live up to that, but it'd be fun if you did. But what would something like that mean to you, to be acknowledged as an all-star? Is that something you even sort of fantasize about?
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That's definitely a big goal of mine, and I'd hope to accomplish that someday. I feel like I'm capable of it. I think it can be in my future. It's just going out there and, you know, executing when you need to, one start at a time, all that kind of stuff. But that'd be awesome if it ended up happening.
When you do take the ball, and you know it's just you and Cal, and you guys are talking, what are some of the things that you guys? I mean, you know each other so well. I feel like you probably know which the other one, what the other one is thinking. But what? Tell us, kind of take us through that preparation with your catcher on a day when you're on the mound.
Yeah, Cal, he knows his stuff for sure. He puts a lot of work into it, knowing the hitters, knowing the league, the scouting reports, and all that. So he's usually right, and when I shake him off, I'm usually wrong, but I don't really let him know that part. He is definitely smart back there, though. He's been around a few years now. He knows what he's talking about, and for me, it's the preparation. It's the work that he's done that allows me and all the other pitchers to be so confident in what he does.
You know, he told us a great story out there in spring training about you guys as roommates and you playing a ukulele and driving him bananas. Do you remember that?
Oh, I remember, yeah. Yeah, on purpose for sure. So I'm glad he's talking about it.
He said he wanted to smash it over your head. But I think you guys can still be friends.
I like that, yeah. Logan said it was on purpose for sure. He was driving them nuts. Hey, just in terms of the rotation, when you are following Kirby, or whoever you may be following that in the season, and they throw a gem, is that friendly competition kick in to where you want to match what the guy just did in front of you?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, for me at least, it's so cool to be around so many really good pitchers. It's very unique what we have here in the bullpen and the starting rotation as well. And these guys, I mean, they go out and dominate almost every time. So for me, that's just, it's more ammo, more competitive drive, whatever. You know, we support each other and love each other and all that kind of stuff. And it's, you know, on the flip side as well, it makes us all want to be better when the other guys are doing so well. So we kind of feed off each other.
Hey, Logan, with your teammates, you know, and your fellow battery mates, is there a pitch or two that you would like to have or that you covet or wish you could throw? That whether it's a Matt Brash slider, or is there anything, what couple pitches would you take from one of your teammates?
Oh man, yeah, Brash's slider is up there for sure. Castillo's sinker probably. Gosh, there's a lot of good stuff, but those are probably the top two.
Hey, just as far as the we were talking about the attitude that we saw there that week we were there. We talked to you, we talked to Cal, we talked to so many players, and even talked to Service and Jerry, and it just seemed a little different in terms of
I don't know if it's, if you want to call it optimism or expectation from everybody there. And it didn't seem like everybody was, you know, reading a script. Like, it was just everybody seemed to be in this different mode mentally of we expect to be in the playoff. We expect to be one of the better teams in baseball. Does it feel different going into this season than it has?
Yeah, I think so. Exactly what you're talking about. I think it's expectation. It's kind of unfinished business. It's knowing we were so close last year, and I feel like our team's even better this year. So the best teams around the league seem to be the ones that expect to make it far, not really just hoping to win ball games. And that's kind of the demeanor this team has right now.
Logan, how much does your routine change during the season versus what you do during spring training, or do you try to keep it the same pretty much all year?
My routine as far as like what I do, the structure is very similar. The workloads can be different. I'll usually bump it down even more in season. At least last year I did. And I find that to be most helpful for me just for going out there and being 100% on game day. You know, a few years ago, I worked as hard as possible, like always, but almost did too much sometimes. And I feel like as I talked to some older guys, Robbie and Marco really helped me with that. It's just knowing what gets you ready for game day, workload-wise, volume-wise, and keeping it to that.
Yeah, I feel like if anybody in the, if we pointed to anybody in that rotation that you'd have to tell them to work less, it would be Logan. It's just you're that guy, yeah. Man, and that's what we love about you and appreciate about you. We wish you nothing but the best. You can't wait to see you pitch in a couple of nights. I'm sure you're chomping at the bit, waiting to get out there. So we wish you the best as always, and as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much, man.
Yeah, thank you guys. Great talking to you.
Thanks, Logan.
There you go,
Logan.
Logan Gilbert, everybody. He's just man, he's just such a humble guy. He's just so, such a nice guy, and I think he's going to have a big year. I think he is primed and ready for a big year, and I can't wait to see it.
I love that he turns into a totally different person. Yeah. But, you know, the question about, you know, what about on the way back down, like before you go home? Logan's married now, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you go back home to your wife. I wonder if it, for me, it took like maybe 18 hours, you know, to after a game.
To get back to normal?
Yeah, I think so. And then some say I never did get back to normal, but yeah.
You haven't been the same since.
I haven't been the same since. No, I love that he's such a sweetheart of a guy, works his tail off,
yeah.
All that, goes out there, he's nasty, and then, you know, he just kind of turns it off and a really good teammate.
Picks up the ukulele and just starts, you know, right. Doing his thing.
Even though Cal wanted to commit violence.
I like that you said it was definitely intentional.
Yeah.
He was driving him nuts. All right. Our thanks to Logan Gilbert. If you guys missed any of that conversation, you'll be able to find it on the podcast page at SeattleSports.com after the show. Coming up, one story continues to dominate the start of this Major League Baseball season. We're going to hear some more about that when we sweep the dial. Coming up live from the Hatback Bar and Grill, it's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Scanning the airwaves for the most interesting and entertaining stories of the day. Sweeping the dial every afternoon at 4:45 with Wyman and Bob.
Well, the Shohei Ohtani situation threatens to still linger over baseball. Now everyone's kind of picking it apart, including Mike Greenberg, who felt the need to just come out and say there's absolutely no way that Shohei is telling the truth.
His story makes no sense. Nothing is less believable than the version of events that Team Ohtani is trying to present here. If we are to believe the version of events that Shohei Ohtani is now offering us, he found out, to his great shock, that his longtime best friend had stolen $4.5 million from him and wire transferred it $500,000 at a time with no one's knowledge, which is ludicrous. Let's even live in a world where that could happen, which it can't. What's the first thing you do? You contact law enforcement, right? You bring in the authorities. Whoever it is, one calls. I don't know. I've never had $4.5 million stolen from me. But if I did, I would definitely call someone. But when they ask Shohei Ohtani, well, who have you contacted about this? The answer is they refuse to talk about it. They will not tell you who they've contacted. And the reason is they never contacted anybody because this isn't what happened here.
Well, I'm with Greeny.
Well, according to the story, he was the one that was contacted because there was an investigation going on with the people that the bets were being placed with. So they busted the guy that was taking the bets.
And that's how it came back to Ohtani. So the story was that he was informed by the investigators, hey, we got these wire transfers with your name on it. We just did a sting operation, whatever you want to call it, on this bookie. And that's how it came to light for him. So I'm not sure what Greeny's talking about, like he should have called the cops, because the story that came out was he was informed by the authorities of what was going on.
Don't you get some kind of an alert or something like that, maybe on your account, when 500 or 500,000 at a time is coming out? I think that's what he's referring to.
That part, yeah. But that's the other part. Who knows how many millions he's got in the bank, I don't know what this guy's access was, if he was allowing him to handle some of his business, allowing him to pay bills. I have no idea. I mean, that part remains to be seen. I'm not saying it's impossible that he knew what was going on or that he placed bets. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But the story in the beginning was that he was the one who was informed of what was going on. So the idea that he should have called somebody, who's he going to call? The people that already told him?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe they... it sounds like Greenberg thinks that, and this is all about the timing of it, but that he should have noticed that.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, I guess he's stealing from me. I don't know. It just seems a little on the fishy side, and that guy would steal that much money, $4.5 million. I don't want to believe it. I really don't. I don't want to believe that Ohtani is, you know, that kind of guy, which, again, you know, gambling is legal in a lot of places, but I want it to be right. But I feel like the MLB needs to get a fixer. They need somebody to come in and fix this whole thing for Shohei and make it go away, because he is the biggest star in the world as far as Major League Baseball goes.
Oh, without question, it would be incredibly damaging to the sport. I just don't know how, and I know people have implied that'll go on. Oh, they're gonna cover it up for him. I'm just like, you know, with that many people involved, there, it's gonna get leaked out somewhere that's what happened. Just the idea that they could somehow cover it up and nobody's gonna be the wiser. It in today's society, everything gets out. Do they risk that exposure? The league tried to cover up a gambling situation with one of their biggest stars, or the biggest star. They're setting themselves up. I don't know
if you get the right fixer.
Yeah.
Sweeping the dial.
We heard this briefly yesterday. John Morosi, who will join us tomorrow, actually, so we'll hear from him again. But on MLB Network, says that the Mariners will make a big move to shore up the bullpen at the trade deadline.
I got Kevin Jansen going to the playoffs, but in a different uniform. The Mariners will make a mid-season trade with the Red Sox for Kenley Jansen, and he will help them arrive to the postseason. This fits on a variety of levels. I believe the Mariners are going to the playoffs. I believe the Red Sox are not. And I believe that when you are at the trade deadline, and if you're in selling mode, one of the easiest things for you to do is trade your proven closer to a team that's on its way to the postseason. Of course, the Mariners had some issues in spring training health-wise with Matt Brash. They do believe that Andrés Muñoz will be able to be a great closer, but you can never have enough quality late-inning arms. The Phillies learned that a year ago. So, Lauren, yes, I've got Kenley Jansen closing out games, or at least helping close out games for the Mariners.
Morosi is a madman. Can you believe that? You know, you got to really know the game and know all the different parts to make a prediction like that, which JP does. But when you first heard that, did it hit you? Because I was watching it live, and I'm like, oh, I'll listen to JP here. And all of a sudden, he's bringing up the Mariners and maybe one of the better closers in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if they're going to need him. I mean, we'll see how the season Hopefully plays not. Out, you know, with the health. Let's play the hypothetical that Brash and Santos come back healthy and they are who they've been. You've got Stanek now and you've got Munoz. If they're all functioning and healthy, is there going to be a need for Kenley Jansen, who's going to be, I wouldn't be opposed to it, certainly. You could never have enough depth, but I don't know, would that be the most pressing need if those guys are healthy?
Hopefully it's not, you know, somebody offensively, because hopefully we fixed that. But yeah, it'll be that would be an interesting, very specific, oddly specific, some might say, prediction.
Sweeping the dial.
Oh, the specific? Yeah. Well, this was a great interview yesterday, you guys and Dontrell Willis. And I like that you tried to nail him down on a prediction. He wouldn't be pegged down, but Dontrell Willis did say that he likes the Mariners along with a bunch of other teams that he likes in the American and National League.
I like the Rangers. I like the M's. I never want to count out Houston. Baltimore is very intriguing to me. I think Baltimore, the way they play, their style, their athleticism, their ads, they're getting Corbin. I mean, they're going to be a good ball club. And it's always fun to see my main man Aaron Boone and the Yankees see where they'll go with the add of Juan Soto. And in the National League, you know, I mean, it's the same old people. You know, I mean, it's the Phillies, it's the Braves, you know, it's the Dodgers. I'm very intrigued about the San Diego Padres, and really, really intrigued about the Giants. You know, we'll see if the Giants can score some runs in that Marine layer up there. That pitching staff with Webb and guys like that, like, they're going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, you're right. I tried to nail him down with a prediction, and he basically listed every team.
Yeah, he did. So, well, first, didn't he say, you're trying to get me fired on day two?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I was listening to it on the way home. He was fantastic. He really was. But, I hadn't really thought about that or considered the fact that there are other cities with the marine layer problem.
Yeah, I mean, he listed all the teams he listed. You can go, yeah, I see that. I see that, too. But he wasn't going to commit to two teams that he thought would be playing for the World Series title. So, but he's got the Mariners in there like a lot of the national voices do, which is always good to hear. All right, coming up, what do the experts, speaking of that, around baseball think of the Mariners this season? We'll get into some of that, plus our buddy Adam Ray, who is fired up. He's been texting me throughout the show. He is fired up.
I don't trust you, buddy.
Just don't trust you, buddy. It's the best line ever. Adam is going to join us from parts unknown. I don't even know where he is right now. He'll tell us all about that. Coming up, it's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.